5 want to look at the deliverance of the demoniac of Gadara in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Each record this miracle, and it's recorded here in verses 1 through verse 20 of Mark chapter 5. And they, that is Jesus and the apostles, came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there were there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place as a result of the demons entering into them, into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus, and him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And he was come into the ship. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered or permitted him not, but said unto them, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, that had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Leading up to this miracle, Jesus had been teaching on the seashore of Capernaum. Great crowds had gathered and so pressed upon him that he had to enter into a ship where he would continue to teach. We see that in Mark chapter 4. Notice verse 1 and 2. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship because of the multitude, and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. So he was just a little ways out. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them his doctrine. It was from that ship, In Mark chapter 4, if you read through that chapter, you see it was from that ship that Jesus spoke the parables of the sower, spoke the parable of the lamp, spoke the parable of the seed growing in secret, and spoke the parable of the mustard seed. And all those parables are recorded in verses 3 through verse 32 of Mark chapter 4. And then when Jesus finished the parables, he sent the multitude away, which now it's just him and his disciples. And we see in verse 34, But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. So he began to explain even more clearly to the disciples. And then at evening, in verse 35, And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side, they being in this ship. And as they were passing over, We read of a great storm there in Mark chapter 4 and through verse 39, and Jesus arose and he spoke to the wind, and the storm ceased. So Jesus taught them that he was the master of the storm. And then we see that they arrive here in Mark chapter 5. They arrive to the other side, and they come into the country of the Gadarenes. And here the disciples, they've already witnessed that Christ is the master of the storm. Here they would witness that Christ's presence and power was sufficient over evil, that his presence and power was sufficient over sin, that his presence and power was sufficient over Satan. It was here in Gadara that the disciples would witness a demonstration of the power of Christ to change an individual, to cleanse an individual, to forgive an individual who was sunk in the deepest depths of sin. So we want to look at this man of Gadara, and we see the, by looking at him, we see the depths to which a person under Satan's control can sink. We see that in this demon-possessed man of Gadara. We learn much about demonic activity from reading this particular scripture. And again, as we've said many, many, many times, people today in our so-called enlightened society think very, very little of demonic possession. They think very, very little of demonic activity, that that was something that existed many, many years ago, certainly existed in the days of Jesus Christ. I personally believe that demonic activity is more prevalent today than it was in the days of Jesus Christ. And we just call it many other things, and we, because we really don't, because people don't understand, and many times they don't really want to face the fact that it is demonic activity. And as you read through the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, you can get a pretty good idea of the signs of demonic possession, demonic activity. And those signs and the results of such have not changed, and they're still very prevalent today. So we want to see, first of all, that this man was under the control of Satan. Now, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, lost man, and again, this is something that people don't want to go there, but it's what the scripture states. Lost man is under the control of Satan. He walks according to the prince of the power of the air. He's under the control of Satan. His life is aligned with the devil. That doesn't mean that all lost people are demon-possessed. That's not what we're saying at all. What it does mean is their life is patterned after Satan. And we see this man was under the control of Satan. We see Jesus and the apostles, they arrive in the country of the Gadarenes. And we read there in verse 2, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, an unclean demon. Now this man had more than one demon, as we will soon see. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 9, we see that this demon is, this unclean spirit is identified as legion. Now Jesus, speaking to the demon-possessed man, the demon-possessed man answered, but really it was the demons that were speaking through this man. So in a sense, he's not merely having a conversation with the man, he's having a conversation with the demons that are speaking through this man. In Mark 5 verse 9, and he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. My name is Legion. Now, a legion was a contingent of approximately 6,000 Roman soldiers. My name is Legion. The reason I'm called Legion is because we are many. This man was possessed by many, many demons. And it's made clear when the demons are released from this man and as they enter into the swine, that these demons are of a great multitude. The man that had approached Jesus and the apostles was possessed. He was under the control of this legion of demons. Now think about what that means. Demons are spiritually and morally unclean. That is why over and over and over in the Gospels they are referred to as an unclean spirit. They are spiritually and morally unclean. Now, I'm talking about society collectively. We identify immorality today. It's blamed much on society. It's blamed much on a lot of things. But a lot of it's demonic activity. A lot of it is demonic activity. I'm not saying that everyone who is immoral is demon-possessed. That's not what I'm saying. But demons are spiritually and morally unclean. And demons are very, very active. They are very, very active today. Therefore, we have, amongst many reasons, but one of the reasons that cannot be ignored is immorality and demonic activity. Demons are also filled with ungodliness. Think about this. This man is possessed with demons. He's possessed with a legion of demons. Demons are spiritually and morally unclean. This man was unclean, spiritually and morally. Demons are ungodly. This man was possessed with a legion of them. He was an ungodly individual. Demons are possessed with a hatred and malice toward God. Today we see an increase in hatred and malice toward God. It's becoming more and more open. And you can blame that on a lot of things, and you can point to a lot of things, but do not ignore demonic activity. Demons hate God. Demons hate Jesus Christ. They have a hatred toward the people of God. They have a hatred toward the things of God. And this man was possessed by a legion of them. So I suggest to you that this man was immoral. This man was ungodly. This man was filled with hatred and malice toward God as a result of these demons. Demons are the enemies of God. They are the enemies of God, and they do the work of an enemy. And this man was possessed with a legion of demons. Enmity against God, of course, has been in the world since the fall. And enmity of God, no doubt, is on the increase. The outward manifestations of enmity toward God is constantly increasing. And again, you can point to a lot of things, but I'm afraid most of God's people forget one thing. Demonic activity. Demonic activity. Demons are filled with opposition against God. This man was filled with possessed with a legion of them. Which tells me this man was very much an enemy of God. He was very much opposed to God. This man being possessed by a legion of demons was wretched on the inside. He was absolutely vile on the inside. And today people are trying to understand, they're trying to figure out the mind of the ungodly. Don't forget demonic activity. Don't disregard demonic activity. The man was haunted. This man was haunted. This is brought forth by the fact of how he lived. He lived in the tombs. He was self-destructive. He cut himself. He cried night and day. This man was haunted. This man was under the spell of a legion of demons. Luke and his account, notice in Luke chapter 8, not only was this man possessed of many demons, but in Luke chapter 8 and verse 27, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time. This man had been possessed for a long time. In other words, they had a huge impact upon his life. This wasn't something that was just occasional. This wasn't something that was short term. This man had been possessed of these demons for a long time. And he is a very vivid picture of a devil-controlled life. And as we look at this man, we see much that is prevalent in our society today. So don't ignore, don't disregard demonic activity. This man was, his dwelling place is described, which makes him somewhat odd, but also is very fitting to his character. Mark records in Mark chapter 5, in verse 2, there met him, that is Jesus, one out of the tombs. Verse 3 says that he had his dwelling among the tombs. And in verse 5, we read that phrase, in the tombs. Three times, Mark makes reference to the fact that this man lived in the tombs. So this is significant. He did not just mention this in passing, he stressed it. He laid emphasis upon the fact that this man lived in the tombs. Luke, in his account, said in Luke 8, verse 27, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Now, he had done this for quite some time. We already saw in Luke's account that he had been possessed for some time now, which leads us to believe that he also lived in the tombs for quite a while. This man was odd. He lived in a graveyard. You live in a graveyard, you're not normal. You live amongst the tombs, you are not normal. You do not think rationally. And this man lived in the graveyard. But there's other lessons there as well. It spiritually speaking, this man was without Christ, and his dwelling place was in character with his spiritual condition. And that's true of all lost men. Their dwelling place, how they live, is in character with their lost condition. But the tombs at that time were not like our graveyards today. Tombs at that time, of course, were cut out of a side of a mountain, which would create sort of a cave. So this is where this man dwelt. But it doesn't say that he dwelt in a cave. He dwelt in the tombs. He dwelt in the tombs. And though these tombs created a cave-like atmosphere, he dwelt in the tombs. In other words, he lived among the dead. He lived among the dead. And we know that those that are without Christ are dead in trespasses and sins. and they prefer to live among the dead. Not the physically dead, but they prefer to live among the spiritually dead. Most lost people prefer the company of the lost over your company and my company. They would much rather be with the dead. They have more in common with the dead. They are more comfortable with the dead. They are more accepted in the society of the dead. So where this man lives is a good picture of his condition. And then as we go on, but we're going to have to stop, this man's disposition and behavior is described. We see, first of all, he was very unsettled. He was very, very restless. Mark says, always night and day. Night and day. That speaks of someone who's not resting. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying. He knew nothing about the peace of the Lord. He knew nothing about the security and the assurance that the Lord brings to one's life. He knew nothing about spiritual refreshment. He was weary. He was distressed. And it's all the result of demonic activity. We live today in a very unsettled, in a very restless society. And so it was with this man who was possessed with a multitude of demons. He was very unsettled. He was very, very restless, always night and day. You could hear him crying in the tombs. You could hear him screaming in the tombs. This was no ordinary individual. Let's look to the Lord. We're in prayer. Heavenly Father,